Part 4, 1981 to present. Chapter 26, Ecuador's presidential death. Leaving Maine was no easy matter. Paul Priddy refused to believe me. "April fools," he winked. I assured him that I was serious, recalling Paula's advice that I should do nothing to antagonize anyone or to give cause for suspicion that I might expose my EHM work. I emphasized that I appreciated everything Maine had done for me, but that I needed to move on. I had always wanted to write about the people that Maine had introduced me to around the world, but nothing political. I said I wanted to freelance for National Geographic and other magazines, and to continue to travel. I declared my loyalty to Maine, and swore that I would sing its praises at every opportunity. Finally, Paul gave in. After that, everyone else tried to talk me out of resigning. I was reminded frequently about how good I had it, and I was even accused of insanity. I came to understand that no one wanted to accept the fact that I was leaving voluntarily, at least in part because it forced them to look at themselves. If I were not crazy for leaving, then they might have to consider their own sanity in staying. It was easier to see me as a person who had departed from his senses. Particularly disturbing were the reactions of my staff. In their eyes, I was deserting them, and there was no strong heir apparent. However, I had made up my mind. After all those years of vacillation, I now was determined to make a clean sweep. Unfortunately, it did not quite work out that way. True, I no longer had a job, but since I had been far from a fully vested partner, the cash out of my stock was not sufficient for retirement. Had I stayed at Maine another few years, I might have become the 40-year-old millionaire I had once envisioned. However, at 35, I had a long way to go to accomplish that objective. It was a cold and dreary April in Boston. Then one day Paul Priddy called and pleaded with me to come to his office. "One of our clients is threatening to drop us," he said. "They hired us because they wanted you to represent them on the expert witness stand." I thought a lot about it. By the time I sat across the desk from Paul, I had made my decision. I named my price, a retainer that was more than three times what my main salary had been. To my surprise, he agreed, and that started me on a new career. For the next several years, I was employed as a highly paid expert witness, primarily for U.S. electric utility companies seeking to have new power plants approved for construction by public utilities commissions. One of my clients was the Public Service Company of New Hampshire. My job was to justify, under oath, the economic feasibility of the highly controversial Seabrook nuclear power plant. Although I was no longer directly involved with Latin America, I continued to follow events there. As an expert witness, I had lots of time between appearances on the stand. I kept in touch with Paula and renewed old friendships from my Peace Corps days in Ecuador, a country that had suddenly jumped to center stage in the world of international oil politics.